Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. It is a little family, isn't it, when you look out there? Well, I had a call from Gray yesterday. He was on the top of a mountain and he said the weather was perfect, just like he said it would be. And if they've had anything like the weather we've had down here, it would have been lovely. Apparently, 38 four-wheel drives went out down all around all the tracks yesterday. The group Gray was in, they were all fine. We can't say anything about the others because we're not really sure. But they have had a lot of fun. And this morning, last night and this morning, they'll be hearing from Lyle Shelton. And he's just an awesome communicator. And I just think it's lovely that the guys have opportunity to share around the fireside with him. So this morning, he'll be sharing the Word of God with all the men up there. So I'm sure they're going to have a great time. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your amazing Word. We thank you that your Word is such a source of life to us, Father. Lord, we know that your Word has a purpose and a plan in it. And Lord, that as your Word goes out, it won't return void. It will accomplish what you have purposed for it. So, Father, right now as I speak your Word, I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be the words you want and that you'll touch hearts, Lord God, as you see fit this day. So, Lord, just let your Spirit rest upon these words in your name. Amen. Put my first one up. There it is. So, today we're talking about consequences. Now, that's not a very enjoyable sounding topic, is it? I was thinking, well, maybe we could call it outworkings. That might sound better. But consequences and outworkings, they actually still mean the same thing. So consequences it is. Before I start on consequences, I just wanted to share with you a word that's been on my heart for this year. Because you're going to see, as I go through a bit later, where it fits in the topic of consequences. So my habit towards the end of each year is to inquire of God for direction for the upcoming year, whether it be for my own personal life, for things in my life that might need adjusting, or whether it might be areas I need to focus on, all those sorts of things, or also for direction for the different groups that I oversee. So last December, I was asking God about 2017, and we're well into 2017 now, aren't we? I heard this word, and it was mentioned in a podcast that I was listening to, and this word really resonated to me. You know how something just grabs your attention, and I couldn't stop thinking about that word. Then I heard that same word in a conversation. Then I heard the word on TV. Then I saw it on an ad. Then I read it in the Bible. You know, it was just one of those words that kept popping up everywhere. Once you're aware of a word, it just kept popping up. And that word, is unlimited. It's coming. There it is. So this word is our theme for chicks this year, and all the chicks would know that. And I did talk about this word at our hideaway. I've also mentioned it in a few other groups that I've spoken at, so some of you have probably heard about it. But I did want to talk about it again this morning to all of you. As I began to think about this word and look into what it meant, I found lots of beautiful descriptive words. Here's some of them. Unlimited means unrestricted. Just think of some of these words and the meaning of them. Oh, what's happened? Inexhaustible. Unrestrained. Boundless. Infinite. Unobstructed. Limitless. Ceaseless. Immeasurable. Infinite, got that twice. Unending. Everlasting. Aren't they incredibly great descriptive words when you look at them? That's what unlimited means. So I began to think about the attributes of God and God's character as being unlimited. So start to apply those words now to the character of God and to his attributes. And just think of how they're manifest each and every moment of every day towards each one of us. What a powerful little word, unlimited. But what an incredibly life-changing word when it's taken on board as a description of God towards us. We're going to come back to this word a little bit later, but first let's look at our topic of consequences. So we all know that in life there are consequences or outworkings for our actions. For example, if we touch something that's hot, the consequence or outworking is that we're going to get burnt. Or if we eat an unending amount of lollies, our teeth will fall out. All parents tell us that, so it must be true. My parents told me that. Or if we eat junk food and don't exercise, then our appearance and our weight is our consequence or our outworking. We all understand the principle. I wonder then sometimes why we don't take to heart that there are consequences for all of our actions, even in our daily walk with God. The Word of God is for an example and it's for our instruction. And every word in the Word of God is for us to learn from. We heard that beautiful word from Cindy this morning. The Word of God is powerful and it is there for us to use as our guide. Do you know there are no wasted words in the Bible? There's no words that don't have purpose and meaning for us today. 2,000 years ago and more it was written, but it still has meaning for us today. Not one part of it is there for no reason, both the Old and the New Testament. God's word is full of important truth. It's living, it's powerful, and it's a profitable word for us. So we need to be very careful that we're not sloppy and that we're not careless in following the word of God. And it's something we need to be following diligently. This great Galatians scripture, thanks. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap real life, eternal life. So what's this scripture saying to us right now? It says, do not be deceived. So deceived means to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So it's basically accepting something that's incorrect. Now in my thoughts, as soon as I hear that word deceit or something that's false and invalid, not truth, it brings me straight to the enemy because this is his tactic, this is his strategy. Is deception, lies, trickery. Accepting his lies as truth actually takes us captive. So the word says, do not be deceived. It basically means stop being deceived. And you know, the only way we can stop being deceived is to actually know the truth. Because when you know the truth, the false is very easy to see. The false is exposed. And we will only know the truth by reading the Word of God, because that is the truth. This is going slow. I don't know why. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I treasured and stored in my heart that I may not sin against you. We all know that scripture. But is it something we actually do? Do we store his word in our heart? Because if we've got it in our heart, we're not going to be deceived. We're going to be able to discern that difference between truth and lies because we will know the truth. So that's what this passage is telling us. Stop being deceived. Stop believing those misleading lies of Satan. Stop taking Satan's bait of deceit because you will be taken captive. That is the outworking and the consequence of believing his deceit. It is his strategy. And exactly as Cindy said in her word before, that is what the enemy is out to do. Then it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. I sometimes think mankind, all of us, have a mistaken idea about the true character of God. You know, if we continually expose ourselves to sin and think that we can escape the outworking or the consequences of sin or disobedience, then we are deluded. We're under great deception that comes from Satan. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. And so we may find ourselves believing through our own carnal reasoning, through our worldly mind, we might think that we can indulge in sin and escape any consequence. Don't be deceived and think that you can continually get away with dishonouring the word of God, disobeying his instructions and not have any consequences. You know, I know we hear a lot of talk about God's grace. And you know, there's some that even believe that God overlooks some of the things we do because he loves us so much. And that the consequences in the Bible that we read about today in this day and age are too strong, represented in too strong a light. That's deception. God cannot make any compromise with sin. As we read, he will not allow himself to be ridiculed. And he won't allow his instructions and his precepts to be set aside. Now, he does love us so much, but the absolute truth is that God tells us in his word that there are consequences and outworkings for our actions. Think about this for a minute. If God did keep a blind eye to our continued practice or indulgence in sin, then he wouldn't be God in all his attributes. The Bible tells us that God does not lie. And God tells us in his word that we will reap what we sow. He is God, and that is the truth. We will reap what we sow. Now, having said that, God always provides a loving way out. He helps us deal with our consequences because he is a loving God. So we will still have consequences, but we can still have God's help. Again, let's looking at this scripture. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So now if I gave you all a lemon tree seed this morning, put it in your hand, you planted it in the garden, do you think you're going to reap a harvest of plums? Of course not. It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, if you go down the shops and you think, oh, I want a lemon tree, can't find one, any seed will do. I really want a lemon tree, but I don't know what to look for. I can't find it. Anything will do. I'm not really sure what I'm looking for, but I still want a lemon tree. So you plant it in the ground. You're not going to get a lemon tree if it's not a lemon seed. No matter how much we desire lemons, no matter how much we plead ignorance, no matter if we think any seed will do, we will not reap lemons. We will only reap plums. Or other way around. Can't remember now, sorry. Why do we think then that the little issues of life, or even the big issues of life, When we sow attitudes, when we sow choices, when we sow decisions, why do we think we're going to get a different outcome or reap a different outworking to what we actually sowed? How important is our everyday life then? We get up in the morning and as we go through the day, we're sowing seed of some kind or other. What are we sowing? What sort of seed are we sowing? Is it anger? Is it gossip? Is it aggravation? Or is it love? Is it peace? Is it joy? We actually have the key to how our day goes. The seed that we sow is going to set the scene for what we reap throughout the day. There are consequences to all our actions and choices, both natural and spiritual. Let's quickly look at an example of consequences in the Bible. There's lots of different ones that I could have pulled out. I've just got just one quickly. King David and carrying the Ark of God. We see when David became king, he was really determined to establish a place where the Ark of God could reside. He was wanting to establish a place for God's presence. As David had gone into battle with the Philistines many times before, he'd inquired of God each time as to how to win that victory. The battle with the same enemy was won with different instructions each time. But when it came to moving the ark, David did not follow the instructions of God. And they were very definite instructions. They were instruction on how they were to be carried, what it was to be carried on, exactly how it was to be moved. And we know from this story the consequences of not following God's clear instructions resulted in the death of Uzzah. This is an important lesson, an example for each one of us of how we to strictly follow what's written in God's word. Not following our own ideas and our own interpretations and our own inclinations and not even the example of others. You know, no matter how good an idea seems, if it's contrary to God's instructions, there will be an outworking. There will be a reaping. There will be a consequence because of our decision, just as there was for Uzzah. We probably think of this story and think it sounds quite harsh, but it's important for us to realise the absolutes of God that he works from, and that is the sowing and reaping principle. Through this story, we can clearly see the importance of inquiring of God and knowing his word and being faithful and obedient. It means doing things in a way which God has prescribed. So I know we all know this scripture so well of sowing and reaping, but do we really, really know what it's telling us? Are we taking to heart what it means for our everyday life? Now, don't think that this is a harsh or a heavy word this morning. This is actually a word to bring life, abundant life. We've been told how to have abundant life, and that is by obeying God's word. That's something to get excited about. If we've made bad choices, there is a way out from them. God always provides the way out. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there may still be some consequences we have to live with, but we've been forgiven and we've been given a clean start. So I want to look now at what happens when we sow good seed, when we make good choices, when we follow God's instructions. When we make those good decisions, when we actually inquire of God and obey his word, then we see the positive side of sowing and reaping. So how often do we think about the consequences or the outworkings for the good choices and actions that we make in life? You know, all throughout our life, there's blessings of God that we're receiving all the time, every day. some of the things we wouldn't even think that we can attribute that to God, but that's what it is. We have peace, we have answers, the provision. There is so many good things that we reap when we obey God. And I think if we thought about the consequences of our actions, if we understood them and meditated on them more and more, if we thought about that life abundant that we would actually reap when we sow good seed, then surely we would aim to achieve more of this by making those good choices more often. I love this next scripture, Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Now, we saw before how being deceived brings us into bondage. We can walk in freedom when we obey God's commands, not bondage, when we obey his word. How awesome is that? You know, often we hear that, you know, you have to do what the Bible tells you, that brings you in, you know, into bondage, but it's the total opposite. It gives us freedom. So let's come back to that word I spoke about at the start. That word unlimited. God is unlimited. Let's just quickly look now at some of the examples of his character and his attributes. What about his unlimited, unrestricted love? Romans 5:8 says, "But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We can't have a more unlimiting love than that. It's totally unlimited and unrestricted to every single one of us here this morning. All of us. God has unlimited, unrestricted love to each of you personally. It's not, you know, only if you're good or only if you do this or that. It is unlimited, unrestricted. What about the knowledge of God? His unlimited, omniscient knowledge. We know that God is an all-knowing God. He knows everything. Isaiah 55, verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God knows everything. It's not limited just to what, you know, to that degree on this subject and this. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. Start to think about that. That's pretty powerful. What about his presence? The unlimited, omnipresent presence of God. Colossians 1:17. "And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe." Think about that word. His presence is everywhere. It's not like he's too busy over there for 5 minutes and you've got to wait. His presence is everywhere. He has unlimited presence all at the one time. It goes beyond what our little finite minds can understand, but that's the truth. What about the unlimited, omnipotent power of God? Job 36:22 says, "God's power is unlimited. He needs no teachers to guide or correct him." So God's power, think about that for a few minutes. Unlimited power. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with him. He doesn't have to try and work out how to fix something. He doesn't have to work out how to win a war or how to get us out of a situation. There's nothing new to him. There's nothing he doesn't already have power over. It's not like, you know, we come to him with a problem and he says, "Oh, just a minute. Gosh, I need to try and work something out about that. Hope I can come up with something." That's not it at all. He has unlimited power and authority and everything else. But it just reminds me of that beautiful song that we often sing, the words, "What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And that's just talking about his name, the power in his name. And then it goes on to say, you have no rival and you have no equal. That means that there's nothing above God. He is all-powerful in every sense of the word. What about the unlimited, inexhaustible understanding of our God? Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our majestic and mighty Lord, and abundant in strength. His understanding is inexhaustible, infinite, and boundless. God understands everything. Everything we feel, our heartache, our sorrow, our joys. His understanding is inexhaustible, unlimited. What an awesome fact is that? He understands us. No one else might, but God does. What about his unlimited or limitless peace? Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. What an incredible thing that is. Unlimited peace, it can be ours. So it's not just peace every now and then, but we can actually live in unlimited peace. Here's a whole lot of other ones. Unrestrained strength. Just imagine God has the strength that is unlimited for any situation. Inexhaustible mercy. And thank goodness for that, because that's what we need so much, isn't it? Thank goodness there's not an exhaustive supply of that. Boundless compassion. His compassion is unlimited towards each one of us, towards this messed up world. Infinite authority, and I love that, because he is the authority. And we heard about the name of Jesus before. That is our authority. He's infinite authority. Unobstructed wisdom. We need so much more of that in our own lives, don't we? But his wisdom is totally unobstructed. It's unlimited. Another good one, ceaseless forgiveness. Again, thank goodness for that. Not just a certain portion, it's unlimited, his forgiveness. Immeasurable blessings. He's not ever going to run out of blessings for us. It's not like we've only got a small portion assigned to us. There's unlimited blessings of God. Unending grace. And again, how awesome is that? We need that. His vast humility. His everlasting truth. His never-ending faithfulness. Now, there's so many more words that you can find that describe God's attributes. And they're all very clear and apparent, and they're all manifest to us through his word. This is just a few of them. And you apply that word to his attributes and his character of unlimited, how powerful it becomes. How secure does that make you feel, knowing that we're God's children? We are God's children. He's our dad. He's the one with those unlimited capabilities and attributes. So when we make the right choices, when we sow the good seed, we are actually going to reap the good consequences. So how does this word unlimited apply to that? If we make a correct choice, if we inquire of God, if we obey his word, then he's going to supply us with his unlimited capabilities and capacities to carry out his will. We're serving a God who is unlimited in every sense of the word. When we sow according to his word, when we sow his truth into our lives, we're going to reap unlimited consequences. We're going to partake of his goodness and his character, which will help us walk through our daily life. Let's look at David again. This was before he was a king, when he was just a boy and he stood up against Goliath. He was in a situation that was actually way beyond his physical capabilities. But do you know what? He used the unlimited attributes and power of God as his weapon against the giant that was in his land. He used the words, "I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." He knew the battle was the Lord's battle, and he told Goliath so. He knew the consequence of the power of God's name. We have that same unlimited attribute of God available to each one of us. We don't have to fight battles in our own strength. We have the God who is the name above every name. We have the Lord of hosts. We have the I am who I am to win our battles for us. If we focus on this truth and sow that trust into our hearts, we will reap the victory. We've been given this word of God, this incredible, powerful weapon. This is an incredibly powerful tool. We've been given our armour, but we've been given this as our weapon. We don't have to stand back and receive things from the enemy. We've got an offensive weapon we can use against the enemy. And this is to help us with our everyday life. God's instructions for each one of us to have that abundant life that he wants for every one of us to have. That scripture Gray often talks about, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's what God wants. That's why he's given us these instructions. Each moment of every day, there is an unlimited attribute of God that we can access and apply to any, and I mean any situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. We live in a climate today where we will be deceived if we don't have his word hidden in our hearts. And I can't stress that enough. The deceit and the lies that we're hearing out there, because of our emotional makeups that we're made with, we will be sucked in by the deceit of the enemy because of our emotions if we don't have the word of God in our heart. If we don't know the truth, we're not going to realise that we're being deceived. So know the word. Hide it in your hearts, as we read in that scripture before. What I just did with that little scripture before, do not be deceived, God will not be mocked, you will sow what you reap. We can just roll that off our tongues so quickly. But take a verse every day. Take a verse. It's so important. Start to think about it. Break it down. Do not be deceived. Okay, what does that mean? Like we've spoken about, God will not be mocked. Think on it, meditate it, start to understand his truth, start to feed on his word every day. It is so important. And as I said, we're just living in a time and an age, even more so it is important to know the truth, because we will be deceived if we don't have it hidden in our hearts. We have to know that we're not fighting flesh and blood in the turmoils that we face. The Bible tells us that we're fighting an enemy with his deceit and his lies. We have to know that the enemy is as a lion seeking whom he can devour, and we're his prey if we're deceived. And we are. We will be taken into bondage by the enemy if we are deceived. We have to know that we've been given authority to overcome the enemy. This is our authority. His name is our authority. All those unlimited attributes are our authority. We've been given the authority to overcome the enemy in our own personal lives. God's given us that authority. It's all expressed in his word. We need to know that we have the victory through through Jesus, he's already won that victory. And we have the capacity, the capability to be able to walk in that victory no matter what we're facing. We already have all these unlimited resources and victory and attributes of God there waiting, available for us. So the consequences for our good choices, the sowing of good seed, brings about God's unlimitedness into every situation. I don't know if that's a word, but it is now because I just used it. You know, this is exciting. There is so much reward. There's so much beautiful, amazing fruit to enjoy. Listen to this last scripture and see the good consequences that God has for us when we obey his word. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 6, and it does go on further, but I'll just read these ones. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That's talking about the world we live in, the carnal nation that's trying to entice us. If we have the word of God, he will set us above that. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord, your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. What amazing words they are. They will overtake us, these blessings, if we obey his voice. So in all our daily endeavours, our home, our work, our social life, whatever it might be, we will be blessed if we obey the voice of our God. Then it goes on to say, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. We're going to reap blessings in all areas of our life and it will have a flow-on effect to everyone that we come in contact with when we make those good choices. When we obey God, good choices or actions lead to blessings from God and the ability to tap into his unlimited attributes. So that's my challenge to you all this morning, just as it has been to me, to see and recognize the unlimited attributes of God in every situation and to make the correct choices, to sow the correct seed and to reap the blessings of those consequences. Can we have the communion team distribute the communion now? Thanks. Maybe the worship team too, that'd be great. So we're going to go into a time of communion now. And I want you to think and ponder over the words we've just spoken about. Jesus went to the cross. What unlimited love that was of God. What unlimited victory he won for us at that cross. What unlimited power was wrought for each one of us through his death and resurrection. So as we're receiving the communion, I want to just read one more scripture to you and I want you to think about what we've just spoken about. I want you to think about the consequences that we can reap if we obey God's word. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very centre and core of your being, may be enlightened, may be flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength. Powerful words. immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of God. So as we hold the bread and the cup now, let's take our thoughts back to the cross. Each one of you, you need to know how valuable you are to God. You're valuable because he died for each one of us. You need to know that he wants you to have abundant life. That's why he sent his son Jesus. Think about and recognize what Jesus really attained for you through the breaking of his body, through the shedding of his blood, and through his resurrection. Determine this morning to hide his word in your heart. Make that a conscious decision. Determine this morning to tap into the unlimitedness of God, of everything that is one for us. And determine this morning to make choices that will reap the rewards that he wants for each one of us. Communion time is such a beautiful, special time when we can come and commune with our God. And if there are areas in your own life that you know you need to adjust or get right with him, now's the time to do that. Remember what we read in the scripture before. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're struggling with making those right choices, with sowing those right seeds as we've spoken about this morning, then feel free to come to the altar this morning and kneel down and pray and make that first step in determining to deal with it and set yourself on that right pathway again. And we'll pray with you. So if you do want someone to stand with you as you make those right choices, if it's something you struggle with, then come now as we're taking communion. So if each one of you just takes a cup and the bread when you're ready, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And as I prayed before, your word does not return void. We thank you that your word is so powerful, Lord God. We thank you for this communion time and what it represents to each one of us. We thank you that your son did come and his body was broken, his blood was shed, and he rose again from the dead. Such a powerful time that changed life for us forever, Lord God. Father, we just pray that we won't just do this as a matter of form, but we will know what we're doing. So, Lord, just each one of us speak to our hearts right now as we take your bread and your cup. In Jesus' name.